This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by XFMuscle.com, home of the best tasting protein powder out there, and Branch Chain Amino Acid Supplement Ice. And by Quest Protein Bars. Quest Protein Bars are the only bars that aren't just candy in disguise. 20 grams of protein, only 4 grams of non-fiber carbs, no sugar or sugar alcohols used, no junk food of any kind, and they're delicious. You can check them out and get 2 free samples by going to questproteinbar.com/fitcast. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 205. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me for the time being is Dr. Jonathan Fast. What's up, John?
Howdy.
How you doing this week?
I'm all right.
Let's get right in.
Life is good. Are you feeling better, Kevin?
I am feeling a little bit better. I took another step back yesterday, but I got to bed around 8 o'clock last night, and I didn't wake up till 6 today, so I got about 10 solid hours.
And the NyQuil helped you out?
Yeah, there's nothing like walking into a CVS in like a somewhat not so great city at 3 in the morning.
Very interesting. That's a win right there.
I was just like, dude, just come on, just look, God, let me get back to my car. Just let me get back to my car.
That's a freaking win right there. And for people that aren't on Kevin's Facebook, you need to be on it so that you can understand the private jokes.
Man, it was.
That was an epic thread.
I laid in my bed and I'm like, am I really gonna do this? I'm like, I just got in the car and drove over there. I was like, I need to fall asleep, and I was tossing and turning till about 3:30 in the morning. I'm guessing I passed out like 15 minutes after taking the NyQuil, so did its job.
Cool. Yeah, that stuff is powerful. It makes you like, it's like this unnatural coldness, sleepiness. Like, it's just like all of a sudden you're just like, wah.
Like, it's like going into surgery. It's like that feeling you get right before when they put you under
anesthesia.
Yeah. Didn't I say that?
Maybe. No, you said it's like when they put you under.
Whatever. But I know it's good. I had a ton of green tea these last couple days, and I don't know if you can hear it very much, but I still get a little bit of it.
A little bit. A little nasally.
Yeah, but we should be good to go. I want to run down some things really quickly. First off, the response that we got from the supplement podcast, and I'm not going to get into it too much. We had a lot of feedback. It was either very positive or very negative. And
sounds like you did your job.
Yeah. What I want to say is, for people that are really positive, I'm very happy that you like it. It's going to be more of the same. For the people that didn't like it, that's why we decided to call it the supplement. It's like, you if you don't want to listen to it, you know, please like just skip over it, or it's still going to be in the iTunes feed, but just skip over it. And I totally understand if you don't like it, because it is not always on topic, and it's
no,
it's very different. I mean, we got into some weird stuff.
Yeah,
but I understand the people that like the dynamic of how the show is right now, they liked it even more. I think it was a
right.
I hope my dog's not making too much noise, but I thought it went all right, and we're going to be doing more of them. So again, I apologize if you don't like it. Just skip over it and go to just where it says the FitCast and not the supplement.
It is a supplement. It's giving people more of what they love if they happen to love that.
Yeah,
and Olivia Munn. Raj wasn't lying.
Yeah, I don't remember that discussion at all, but yeah.
Yeah, now it came up. It came up at the end.
I'm much more of a Moon Bloodgood, you know?
Either one, I'm not really, I wouldn't have a problem with being my Valentine, but
hey,
yeah.
Friday, do you want to stop? He's like chewing his bone on a sliding door, so it's like, I don't know if you can hear that.
No, I can't.
Good. Then we're going to continue. What up? Never mind. the stuff that we do on the side here, besides the FitCast, or what I do as part of my day job, is Body by Boy Online. And there's some big news coming Wednesday. Just keep your eyes peeled. We have something. I'll probably throw something special on the FitCast.com too. But we have some big news coming on Wednesday, and we also posted the first couple parts of the Mike Boyle strength and conditioning Winter Seminar 2011, which happened last week with Dan John and Mike Boyle, which was a huge success. We had like 200 people there. It was really amazing. I was very, very happy to have attended, and I think a lot of you guys out there are going to want to check out the videos if you are members of Body by Boyle Online. They're kind of exclusive, so might be worth giving it a look. There's my sales pitch.
I'm texting Lee right now and telling her what you just did.
You can text from where you are?
Yeah, I can do it off of Google.
Okay.
No, it's off of Google. I've sent you some texts.
And just a shout out to Steve-O and Jose, who I met at the seminar. Thanks for coming up and saying hi.
Steve-O?
Not the Steve-O.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like Steve-O from from like the forums and stuff. Right?
I don't think so. This might be there's a different Steve-O.
There's a Steve-O from he used to be on Men's Health and
I don't know.
Kind of blondish, I think.
I don't think so.
Shout out to Steve-O. What's up, man?
Yeah, and to the one from Jackass. Shout out to him, too.
Right.
He listens every week. He's been getting healthy, so. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with the roundtable. We're going to listen to some awesome music this week, and I'm going to tell you who it is right now. This song called You Gotta Lose by Orbitz. You can check them out on subpop.com. Okay, so we have a very special roundtable for you this week. The topic is going to be Program Design 101. And John and I are going to basically go through our mindset. We talked about this a little bit a couple weeks back, but we got a couple emails from people wanting clarification. So we figured we'd go a little bit more in-depth. And I think with the tools that we give you today, you're going to be able to create your own programs and make sure that they're not only effective, but they're well-balanced, and they're going to cover all your bases, and it's going to help you figure out what your goals are going to be and then how to program for those goals. I think I can
there you go.
Everything.
Yeah.
But let's start off with the most obvious starting point, which is going to be your goal. So, John, I don't know if you'd agree with me, but the most popular requests that you're going to get from people are going to be fat loss,
absolutely,
strength, and then hypertrophy.
Yeah, and
some
I
people that sprinkle in like endurance stuff.
Yeah,
you know, and you know who want to do more. Like my goal is to run a marathon and stuff like that. But that's mostly mm-hmm. those three.
I agree, and I'd say even it's almost like fat loss, and then half as popular is strength, and then half as popular as that is hypertrophy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It really is fat loss. And people usually, it's like, I want to lose some weight and I want to get a little stronger, or I want to lose some weight and I want to have a little bit more muscle.
Usually come hand in hand, but I think with the, you know, especially with the audience that we're dealing with today, they're probably already strength training.
Yeah.
So, and even a lot of my online clients that I get, they've already been strength training for, you know,
yeah.
a couple of years, but they just want to make sure that, you know, their program is
again, that well next balanced. Level.
Yeah, and it's the next
absolutely.
Level in terms of effectiveness. So,
absolutely.
You know, let's do this. I think it's a great place to start would be fat loss. And I say we just run through the list, the gauntlet with a fat loss program. And then, you know, we'll kind of go back and forth with that. And then we'll go into a strength-based program and
okay.
How to gauge that. And what I would love to do is if and when we get Leon for this episode, I want to have her address, you know, structuring the nutrition for a fat loss mm-hmm. program. And the crazy thing, it becomes a huge can of worms.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to think about that, but it becomes a whole can of worms. I'm like, I always hated that expression. Why did I use it? It becomes a whole can of worms because when you go into fat loss, there's so many different degrees of a fat loss program, whether it be, you know, do you want to train like this, that whole thing that we talked, I don't know if we talked about it on air or not, but I know I talked with Alan Aragon and like Lou Schuler about people who always like are walking into the gym with tap out shirts and want to train like MMA fighters now. And it's huge. Like, and it's not the guys with the blowouts all the time, though it usually is, but, you know, it tends to be, you know, the guys that want to be, oh, you know, I want to do like metabolic training and I want to, you know, go 30 seconds of rest and I want to just train for 30 continuous minutes with just 30 seconds in between sets and just going from one lift to the next, more of a circuit-based fashion. So let's, how do you think we should break it down, John?
I thought what you said was good.
Okay.
Like,
I can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or actually, well, you said like fat loss. Well, we could like kind of juxtapose it also. Like, we could say
maybe we should just do fat loss this week.
Okay.
And make
cool.
it like a three.
And then next week is strength.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that. So, let's first off, let's start with a someone that's been training, because I want to hit the widest demographic of our audience as possible. So let's just say this is someone who wants a fat loss program and has been training for 6 months or more of strength training, and has been going to the gym regularly. So they're familiar with the weights. They're familiar with, you know, the basic movements, we'll say, or even that they have tried a program like New Rules of Lifting or
right.
Turbulence Training.
Now, are we talking in person or are we talking distance?
I'm talking, this is how...
Just putting together a program.
Putting together a program, because I want to, again, you know, I think it would be cool to give our audience the tools to create their own programs, or at least to play around with it, because it can be fun. Like, to write yourself a program for 3 or 4 weeks and then really look at the statistics and look at the results that you get from doing that program and say, all right, well, you know, I only lost 1 pound in the final 2 weeks of the program. How can I change that? Is it in the, you know, strength training, or, you know, is it more likely in the nutrition
right.
aspect of things? Or, you know, I didn't even get stronger. Like, you know, maybe I get to change the sets and reps. Is it too much volume? Like, all that stuff.
Right.
So let's take a step back. Let's start with what is going to be pretty common through all the programs, which is going to be the warm-up and the mobility portion.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, how do you generally like to set up the foam rolling aspect with your clients, whether it be in person or distance? How much foam rolling do you have them do, and how much is too little and how much is really overboard?
Well, it's a good question, because there's no real answers to it. I think it's everything starts off from the evaluation. Now, if someone's writing their own program, that's going to be a little bit harder. You're kind of evaluating yourself. Mm-hmm. So some people, you know, you may have an inclination of, well, I'm weak in this type of lift, or I have pain, you know, in my leg or something, and that can give you a clue as to, you know, where something might be wrong. In general, what I'll do is the warm-up aspect, I'll foam roll specific areas that we usually feel pain or tightness in. You know what I mean? So sometimes it could be like calves. Sometimes it can be quads or something, or, you know, if someone has like knee pain or whatever. I tend to leave the foam rolling myself until the end of the program. There's no real reason to, because there's no evidence saying, you know, you should do it before, you should do it after, you should do it in between. You know, there's nothing. But my thought is that in a sense, if we're using the mobility work that's included in the warm-ups, then chances are you're probably going to get that flexibility, that neuromuscular flexibility. And we know that, at least. We know that dynamic warm-ups produces that. So I think probably the foam rolling, you know, too much of it in the beginning, maybe it's a little bit of overkill. Maybe it's you could theorize that maybe it's going to decrease your strength, because if you're relaxing the muscle, it's probably not the goal before your workout. So that's my personal take on it. I'll deal with stuff that needs addressing. If I have knee pain, then we're going to roll, you know, maybe the inner thigh or maybe the quad or something where we found, you know, yeah, there's a lot of knots here, a lot of trigger points here. Or, you know, before squatting, maybe we're going to get the calves or the hip flexors. But I tend to leave that to a minimum.
Gotcha. So you brought up a really interesting point in the terms of, you know, putting that foam rolling at the end. It doesn't necessarily have to be at the beginning. And, you know, I always, as a reference, obviously I have what we do at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning as a reference. And we always put the foam rolling at the beginning of the workout. And again, the rationale behind that is it's not necessarily because it has to be, but because it works with the flow of the gym. And, you know, same thing with my clients. You know, I'm like, if you come in 5 minutes, 10 minutes early, I want you to start foam rolling. I don't want you to just, you know, sit there and watch TV while you wait for me to finish up with my other client. Like, that's a waste of your time, and you're throwing money in the toilet.
Right. You know, something like that, and that's exactly the point, because there's no – this is where, you know, we try to cite evidence. We try to – but there is no evidence when it comes to foam rolling, none. The studies haven't been done, and the two or three that actually have been, they're crap. They're not good studies. So it's really hard to say anything. I think the only kind of evidence we even draw on in any way, shape, or form are things like trigger point therapy out of, you know, physical therapy and rehab, and it is absolutely not the same. So we're trying to draw conclusions, but they're not there. So really all we have is anecdotal and you know, our own experience type of evidence to draw on. And if that's the evidence that we're using, then the fact of the matter is you put it anywhere you want. There's no, it's up to your judgment. If you think this is good in this place or it's better at the end or the beginning or whatever, that's up to the trainer's judgment. So I'm fine with that. I mean, there's nothing, you know, my argument is maybe these things happen, but I don't know. And that's the truth. I don't know.
All right. So, with the foam rolling, again, just to give my quick take on it. Again, even with myself, I like to just throw it in at the beginning because that's just what my routine has been like for these last couple of years. Ever since when I first started foam rolling because I read Core Performance, like in high school. I've just done it in terms of habit, and the same thing when I give it to my when I program it into my clients, whether it be distance or not, I'll tend to say, you know, I'll tend to just throw it in the beginning because they get there early, or, you know, if they do get there late, I'll just say, all right, well, you know, we'll skip the foam rolling and just do it at the end. So, but if you're by yourself and you have the time at the beginning, I just like to throw it in the beginning because, again, it just gets blood flowing, and, you know, it is literally part of the warm up, just because they're moving a little bit. And, you know, I think that still is beneficial, whether, you know, you're talking about the benefits of soft tissue work or not being at the beginning of the workout. I just want them to start rolling around, moving, more than anything. And a lot of people tend to like it, especially after being at work for 8, 9, 10 hours, especially when you get on those traps, they tend to really love it. And it's like, oh, this is my favorite part of the workout. That's foam rolling. Okay, let's go into the rest of the warm up. So static stretching and dynamic mobility. So and also activation. I think activation is a huge part of the warm up. So John, again, let's deal with this the same person that might have been training for 6 months. Again, they are pretty familiar with the lifting. So what are you going to program in there? Are you going to go right to static stretching from there? Do you do static stretching, or do you go right into activation and dynamic mobility stuff?
Right. It's very rare that I do static stretching beforehand, because we do understand that it decreases power. Now, how much is that really important for someone that's a general fitness enthusiast? You know what I mean? And that's just the other thing that you have to consider when you're putting together a program. Yes, we know it. You know, static flexibility will decrease power output. The evidence has shown that. It's pretty solid evidence. But if I have someone that has, you know, significant loss of range of motion at the hips and I want them to be squatting that day, am I afraid to static stretch them before their workout? Absolutely not. I'm going to static stretch the hell out of their hip flexors and their quads so that they can achieve a full range of motion in hip extension at the top of the squat. You know what I mean? So there is a time and place for everything, and there's absolutely arguments that could be made for that. As it is, I don't typically do that. I would prefer – that's the case where I'd prefer to do foam rolling and then see what happens. If I can achieve the hip extension that I want, that terminal hip extension, without having to static stretch them in the beginning, then I'll do that. If I can't, then we're going to static stretch beforehand, and that's probably going to go away as soon as they start really developing their range of motion. You know, it becomes a point where you can move that early on static stretching to the end of the program and assume you're probably doing a better, you know, that's better for the entire program. But that's only after you've achieved that initial goal. So generally, I'm going straight into dynamic flexibility.
Me personally, I think it is great to start off with some static stretching. Most importantly, hamstrings, hip rotators, and flexors, just because those, again, with the population that I especially deal with, those tend to be the tightest areas. And again, like John said, right after that, go into dynamic mobility. So, you know, John, again, I'll give you the start with that. You know, how do you generally start that off?
Dynamic mobility, again, it depends on the presentation, on what their needs are in range of motion. So I'll pay extra attention to the areas that they need. It's, you know, a general mobility overall, lower body to upper body. It also depends too. If we're doing a full body, then I'll typically end the mobility drills that I'm using with what they're about to start on. You know what I mean? But if they're, or even better, like upper lower day. So I do the same dynamic drill warm ups regardless of it's an upper lower day, but I'll try to flip it if I do that. You know what I mean? So if it's a leg day, then I'll try to end on my leg warm ups. Mm-hmm. And if it's an upper body day, then I'll try to end on the upper body warm ups. I don't, you know, probably about anywhere between 5 to 10 minutes. It depends on the ability of the individual. How much do they need in terms of achieving flexibility and achieving that range of motion? But you know, if it's someone that's really in good shape and they're fairly flexible, then I'm probably going to do as much as I need to get them ready, and then it's done. I tend to go more on like a less is more type of approach. But having said that, I want at least 5 minutes just to, you know, get some blood flowing and get some warmth through the body, you know, similar to like if you just ran on a treadmill for 5 minutes, which technically there's nothing wrong with that either, you know, to start off with a 5 minute treadmill and then go into your mobility stuff. The evidence is very strong on that. It's just not necessarily producing things that we always talk about, but there's nothing wrong with getting on a treadmill for 5 minutes either.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm kind of on the same side of John. Obviously, we're going to agree on a lot of this stuff, so before people, you know, start emailing us saying, you just agree with each other.
All the time! Your show sucks!
Why don't you get so-and-so on? But anyways, I digress. I want to quickly say that I love the dynamic warm-up. I think that is when the workout starts. It starts right there. And you can give yourself some pretty challenging dynamic warm-up moves. If you, you know, again, it depends on the client. It depends on you, since we're talking about programming for yourself. But things like overhead lunge walks or Spider-Man crawls or even reverse lunges with like a post lateral reach, like those will get you sweating. Those will really get you warmed up. And, you know, a lot of those can be considered strength training for, you know, a good, decent, part of the population. So I think it is that's pivotal time, whether it be 5 minutes, whether it be 10 minutes. I usually tend to go closer to that 10 minute range, with my clients, because I've found so much benefit from that extra dynamic mobility. And, you know, unfortunately, when you do have certain clientele that comes to you and we're in a population that tends to sit at the computer a lot. You know, I find that extra, whether it be extra no monies, extra thoracic mobility work, scapular wall slides, retro and lift. Surprisingly, I find that it's more beneficial for the upper body than the lower body. I find that it's much more needed there because, you know, I can work on hip mobility through the workout by doing single leg work, doing lunges and stuff like that, and I've already static stretched them most likely, and I will do some lunge variation as part of the dynamic warm up. But especially with the upper body, I just find that people are so locked up in the upper body that it is worth that spending that extra time up there. Again, doing that extra thoracic mobility work, you know, working to mobilize the lats, and even getting them to do simple things as focusing on proper posture, doing chin tucks, things like that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Well, I was just going to go.
Well, I was going to commend you because I think personally, the way that I evaluate a beginner trainer from someone that's maybe more advanced is their understanding of what you just described. I mean, it's exactly what you said. The moment they step in the gym, the workout begins. Whatever they do at that point, the workout begins and everything has to flow. Those warm-ups have to make sense to the workout, and that workout has to make sense to the cool-down, to the stretching afterwards or whatever. It's all related. And I think, unfortunately, you see a lot of trainers that have good intentions. They know, you know, they have their clients doing mobility drills. They have them doing whatever. But there's like no rhyme or reason to them. They're just picking drills out of a hat to do something with them. And that's not, you know, it's great that they're engaging in those types of exercises, but you really want to understand, why did I choose every exercise that I did? You know what I mean? Because every one of them relates to every other exercise in the program. And, you know, you can talk about the long term. What are your goals in 3 months? How are you going to program to that point? So having like a long term approach to your programming. But you've got to examine the day to day, too, because every single exercise in one way or another affects every other exercise that you choose. So you do have to understand that. And the warm ups is exactly where it begins. That sets the tone for everything. I agree with you completely.
Yeah, and it's a complete balancing act. It's you know, it's something that you're going to have to – everyone's different. And I would say, you know, take a good look at yourself in the mirror. I like to have some of my clients take progress pictures, but obviously my online clients. But, you know, take some pictures just standing regularly and really look closely at them. You know, even if you know like a trainer or even if you know one of us like somewhat personally, you know send them to someone that you know who can just take a look and that can spot the asymmetries. Like, you'll be crazy,
right?
So like someone's like has one hip shooting far out to the side or one shoulder's a lot lower than the other. Like, it's just, I mean, it's really easy once you know what's wrong to fix it. It really is.
Right.
We're not rocket scientists. we live in a world where, it really isn't that hard to fix what we need to fix once you know what's wrong.
Right.
You sounded like you had to say something, John. Are you good? Or?
No. Yeah, no. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I think it, you know, the difference between, you know, this is something that Bill said to me that has stuck with me forever, and I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but when you evaluate someone, he said, you can always find something wrong with them and you'll never find everything wrong with them. And I think that's really important because you want to find the big picture stuff, the big things that you can make a difference with. Hopefully that's going to help you throughout everything else that you do during the day and throughout your experience and all kinds of activities. There's no guarantee that it's going to prevent injury, but we think that it will. We think that it's going to do some good for you. And in the least, it'll probably prevent just some aches and pains. So you kind of look at those things, just like you said, is one shoulder higher than the other? Do I tend to stand on one leg more than the other? People always do that, always. And they're amazed when you point that out. They're like, you're right, I'm always on this leg more. You know, it's like just natural things that you do. Pay attention to yourself when you move. And when you spot these things, make sure you don't do them in the gym. I think that's the biggest thing that someone that's riding their own program can take from that. It's like if you know that you walk with a lot of hip motion, and then you're looking at your lunge and you notice that hip is kicking out to the side whenever you're on the single leg, it means there's some strength weakness. There's an imbalance there. Focus on that imbalance. Make sure that you're not cheating yourself in your own movements. And it surprisingly, it can be fun because, I mean, God, how long have we been working out, Kev? And I look at, myself in the mirror every single time I do a single rep to make sure, because all of a sudden.
I'm laughing because you brought up a great point. And the point that I want to say is that, I mean, and I apologize for the noise because my dog's chewing on a bone. But the thing that I wanted to bring up is, we do have like this somewhat hardcore mantra that you will see on Facebook from people that want, be badass training, like badasses and stuff like that. And like, I don't need a mirror. I don't train at a gym with mirrors. I'm like, shit, I'm sorry. Shit, I'm sorry. But if you're training by yourself,
but you did it again.
If you're training by yourself, you need to look in a mirror.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you don't have someone coaching you. So if you're gonna go train at a gym with no mirrors, you gotta either like have a really good awareness of where your body is in space and be able to actually feel what's going on, or you need to have a mirror. And you know what? Just don't walk up to the mirror and like flex your bicep and look at it really close. You don't have to do that. That's not what we're talking about. And I think that's something that's a perception. Like,
can I still do that though?
Totally. If you got it, flaunt it.
All right,
and
cool.
The other thing is, Like I said, I wanted to preface that whole point about taking pictures or even taking a video and watching yourself squat and look at it really, really, yeah, and look at it really, really closely. But do not, don't freak out if you do see asymmetries. A lot of us walk, go through life with major asymmetries, and there's nothing wrong with it. We're okay. You possibly will be more likely to get injured. If you're at a, it's something that we're more concerned about, I should say, with athletes that are in contact sports. I love the example of a soccer player that needs to stop, or a football player, that needs to stop and pivot like in a microsecond. That's where it's going to become much more of an issue. Not someone who's just going in and like, lifting for 45 minutes, three times a week. Although that can still lead to some like nagging hip issues or shoulder pain, stuff like that, neck pain. So what I wanted to finish with that is saying, look at it, but don't like say, oh my God, I have to just solely train my right side for the next 2 weeks. Just gradually, be mindful of it. And, some great resources that you can check out in terms of addressing it are like Assess and Correct. Mm-hmm. That's a great resource. If you find that this is a problem, check that out. Or I will have you go back to the same couple of people, like Eric Cressy, Mike Robertson, and Bill Hartman when it comes to addressing asymmetries. And they have also free stuff on T Nation and like on their blog. So you don't always have to go out and get the product. You can always check out their stuff too. But obviously if you just don't want to have to search for it and it's a nice neat package, I'd probably go, check out Assess and Correct. And then final, just a bullet point, and John, you can agree or disagree with me on this, but again, what my general guidelines are: 8 movements. If it is unilateral, I will go between 6 and 8 per side. If it's bilateral, I will usually do 10. And that
reps or movements? What do you mean?
Reps.
Okay. I go anywhere between
movements,
5 and 10.
Eight movements total.
Eight
different exercises.
For eight reps.
Or a walking lunge, or reach, roll, and lift, et cetera.
I'm not as specific.
I go a little overboard, so.
Mm-hmm.
I
may do 8 movements. I may do 10, or I may do 12. I don't know.
I like the hand grenade, and I like to cover all my bases because I know, maybe if this isn't like an issue that they have to address, it's probably going to help them out anyway. So, I'll spend the extra 5 minutes because, you know, I'm going to be if we're talking about a 15-minute warm-up, I'm never lifting for more than 45 minutes with my clients. They're never doing more than 45 minutes of lifting. If we are, it's because they're talking my ear off. Is there anything you want to hit on in terms of the warm-up before we get into the other stuff?
Are we including neuromuscular stuff?
We didn't talk about activation. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
let's talk about activation. So, John, how do you address activation, and you know, what do you find to be the most important activations to throw into a program for the general population or for the population that we're talking about?
Activation after mobility, simply because if you're trying to activate a muscle, the idea is that if you're shortened in range of motion at the joint, you're going to have more difficulty activating that muscle. So I want to know that I have mobility before I actually get to strengthening the muscle that needs it.
Is that just anecdotal, or is that like something you found in research and stuff?
Research. See, I mean, again, you know what? I've never seen anything as far as activation, because when they talk about activation, the research. No, the reason why is because there is a lot of research on activation, but that research is done a lot differently than we do it in the gym. Exactly. You know, they're talking about electrical stimulus and there's plenty. So we know it's a phenomenon. It's a true thing. You can have a muscle that does not activate as well as someone else's would. But the way that you do it clinically is very different than what you do in the gym, where you're, you know, a trainer and don't have access to these things, nor is it necessarily something you would want to put your client through anyway. Mm-hmm. But in the clinic, we use electrical stimulation. So you're basically putting – it's kind of like actually what it is like the stuff that Bruce Lee used to do that everyone's like, oh, he used to electrocute himself. That's kind of what you do. You use an electrical stimulation to start the process of improving muscle activation. And you can actually test pre and post with submaximal thresholds testing, which is really nasty stuff. So it's not something that you're going to do as a trainer. So as a trainer in the gym, or as someone that's just working out, you're almost kind of taking like a best guess. You know, I can't tell you for certain that these muscles aren't activating, but I can guess that, you know what, there's a weakness here at least. And what the idea of the activation drill will do is, even if you're not, let's say you really are firing, you know, 95 to 100% of the fibers that you're capable of using, they're not strong enough, or you could do it if you were stimulated, but you don't know how to turn them on really. That's more like, it's the same reason why someone, if you say, hey, make a muscle, they can flex the elbow, they can, you know, use their biceps, but you say, you know, flex your left lat, and they're kind of looking at you like, I don't know how to do that. There's neuromuscular control at that point. And the reason why we know how to flex our elbows, because as little kids, everyone said, show me your muscle, and that's the muscle that you show them. You learn how to do it. Plus, it's a single joint. It's something you use daily, so it becomes something familiar with to you. But you can't flex other areas of the body because you're not used to actually isolating a muscle and turning that muscle on. You know, it's like some people can curl their tongues and some people can't. Some people can raise their one eyebrow and some people can't. It's just a learned experience. So the dynamic warm-up is for the flexibility, but the activation drill is to then utilize muscles that may be underutilized in what you do during the day, or certainly some of the exercises that you'll use. And the idea is that we sit on our butts all day, so our hips really become dysfunctional, our glutes, and our ability to control that hip motion. Same thing with the shoulders, the scapular retractors and the scapular stabilizers. We sit hunched forwards, and we lose our ability to truly control our shoulder blades in space. So those are the places where typically I find that I need the most work. But abs are big too.
So I'm sorry not to speed this up, but we're running out of time. In terms of, you know, end of the day, you know, top two or three movements that you love to include, and why? Not even why. You kind of explained why.
Yeah. Standing hip extension or glute bridge, depending on how dysfunctional the glute is. You know,
standing bent hip extension. You just have them literally stand up, sit back, and then stand.
No. A standing. So the hip extension is actually extending the leg backwards. That's the hip extension. Okay. So yeah. So you always go from isolated to integrated. Gotcha. If I have trouble turning on my glutes, I can't really start necessarily at a glute bridge. I may still not really do it.
And you do that without load.
Yeah, do it without load. Eventually you can. I mean, eventually you turn a glute bridge into a hip thruster or whatever. But, you know, it's, you know, you want to make sure that you're using the glutes for hip extension. You want to make sure you are squeezing the abs when you do it. Everyone will replace a hip extension for a lumbar extension. So you really want to be aware of what you're doing when you do these exercises, not just going through it. You know, I tell everybody, especially like with bird dogs, the first thing I tell them is, if you do this right, it's going to be hard as hell. If you do it wrong, you're going to look at me like I suck.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be like, what's the point? And everyone does them wrong. So I like those. I like eyes, T's, and Y's for the scapular stabilizers. And I love bent over eyes, T's, and Y's because then you're getting hip control in there as well, low back.
I'm sorry to butt in, but it's a good time for it. Have you seen Smitty stuff on the eyes, T's, and Y's while gripping like a tennis ball?
No, I haven't, but that would make sense.
Let me see if I can find that and I'll forward it to you. But actually, Kevin Carr and Brendan Rierich from Boyles, they went to his seminar and he talked about that. And we've been using it with our athletes for about the last 2 or 3 months to huge success.
What's the argument for cuff and neuromuscular cuff activation with a yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah, I actually do it with a stick. I just use a broom handle. Same thing.
Eyes, T's, and Y's before the buys, and what else?
And then actually, those are my big ones. I mean, otherwise,
two,
I like.
Man, it's not two. You don't have.
No,
to
I like overhead squats. I love overhead squats as an integrative warm up, because then you're getting a lot of trunk stabilization and scapular stabilization while you're moving in the lower body, and you're getting a lot of glute activation too. Mm-hmm. I love overhead squats. What else? Those are my go-to ones. I don't know when I don't use those. Otherwise, let's see. I like walking lunges. I like scap push-ups. Love scap push-ups. Yeah.
That's for three.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in complete agreement. I'm a big fan of the X-Men walk. And also variations of that. Let me think of how to describe it. I can't remember the first time that I saw this. I actually saw a video of Tony Gentilcore doing it where he put a band around a table. So you basically are putting a complete mini band. I think it was the half inch around your ankles and then also attached to a table or some kind of surface that's not going to move. And while holding, you know, that same position that you would for an X-Men walk, you walk backwards and then you can also go sideways. And it's something that I've used with great success with my clients in terms of glute activation. And again, if you're working with female clients that, oh my God, that makes my ass hurt so much. I love you. Thank you. You're the best trainer ever. If I wasn't married, I'd hire you. That kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets real. No, it's that big. So that would be the only one I would include in there. Besides that, and some kind of band pull apart. Again, you know, just kind of undoing what is done while sitting at the desk. Band pull aparts overhead and in front, that's where we will leave that. Let's take a break right here, and we'll be right back, and we're gonna go quickly into the weight training. So stick around. Hope you guys have been enjoying it so far. All right, so we're back. We took a brief break, and we got about 11 minutes to record this segment, so we're going to do our best with it. I might have an extra couple of minutes. But the thing that we're going to be talking about is the strength training portion and how to program a proper strength training program when it comes to a fat loss program. And there's two different camps on this, and we might, you know what, we might have to finish this next week, but we'll do our best today. But again, with my clients that are generally untrained and aren't in great shape, I will have them doing a pretty basic program because it's going to get the results. And again, you're not going to have them doing something that is going to make them, you know, too difficult, where it could you know, get them hurt and then have them unable to train for a little bit and then probably fire you. So the main things that I will stick with are basic lunge variations, whether it be starting with a split squat, going into some kind of reverse lunge, and then into a walking lunge. I tend to skip over the forward lunge. Not a huge fan of that. I find that you know, in some clients that has caused them to bother their knees if they've come to me with knee pain. The reverse lunge is a lot less stressful on the knee.
Look for glute control on that.
Obviously, if they're, thanks. Yeah. This isn't my first barbecue, all right?
You know what? But you're so far, you got the friggin' barbecue sauce smeared all over your face. That with dead air, Kevin. You got dead air going on right now.
So the reason why I do skip over the four lunges and then I go into the walking lunges, it tends to be a little bit more natural and easier for people to pick up. And, you know, again, yeah, I do make sure that their glutes are activating properly and that their knees aren't caving in.
How do you do that? Do you have your hands on their ass, Kevin? Is that what you think is appropriate for a client?
No, I don't progress them to the walking lunge until they can perform the reverse lunge correctly and efficiently. Jesus, John.
I don't know, man.
All right. Well, anyways, also in terms of lower body lifts, you know what? Believe it or not, with beginners, I have no problem starting them off with a trap bar deadlift because people pick it up really quickly. If they tend to be you know, a little bit weaker, I might have them go to a kettlebell deadlift first, but I'm a huge fan of the trap bar deadlift. And if someone can do it, I find it to be a great lower body exercise. And I will still have them doing some kind of single leg. Excuse me. I'm getting a little, I just ate right before the show. I'm trying not to burp.
Yeah. You're very excitable right now.
I've had so much green tea today trying to get better. It's unbelievable.
You are a sissy. You're a little sissy. What's going on with the coffee, by the way? Are you enjoying the coffee?
Yeah, only Dunkin' Donuts, though. I only like my DD.
All right.
I like my Dunkin' Donuts. I like to put one Stevie in it.
You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink good coffee, I guess.
Have you ever had Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
You know what? This ain't my first barbecue, pal.
Yeah, well, you're from Jersey. You guys like Honeydew Donuts and stuff like that, or whatever it is.
Honeydew? Dude, we got Dunkin' Donuts at every corner.
I know, but you guys just aren't cool. You guys are like
Honeydew?
Something about Jersey. You guys, like, if they don't sell cheese balls, yeah, they like it.
Yeah, the garbage dump, not our taste in donuts. What's wrong with you?
So, yeah, continuing, you know, I will do some kind of hip extension exercise that's single-legged as well. Obviously, the single-legged deadlift is a great place to start. And I like to, Mike's actually, calls it the, anterior reach, but it's just a single legged deadlift while holding onto a cable, the cable station, with the cable all the way, the attachment or the, you know, the pulley system all the way down to the bottom position. I find that is very effective at helping people pick up the single legged deadlift movement. Even before I put a dumbbell in their hand, I have them doing that. And it makes the glutes light up like Christmas. And for upper body stuff, obviously push-ups, if I start people with dumbbell work or if I have them doing dumbbell work, it's always a alternating dumbbell bench to start off with, because I want to enforce that shoulder stability and scapular stability to start them off with, because I think that's something they need to pick up soon. And same thing, I mean, they're obviously getting that out of the push-ups as well, but you know, I won't have anyone barbell bench for at least like the first 3 months. Again, if you have been, you know, a lot of, especially guys have been benching all their life, or they'd like to think that. So it might not be too big of an issue as long as your form is correct and it does not cause any shoulder issues. The benefit of the dumbbell bench and the push-up being, it's a lot stressful on the shoulders, and with the dumbbells, you can use a neutral grip, which John, correct me if I'm wrong, but, is a lot less stressful for that, shoulder capsule.
Yeah, it should be.
So the other thing, you know, obviously row variations. I really like a suspended row, whether it be on a TRX or whether it be like a barbell in a rack. I really like it, obviously, because we're forced to get some kind of glute activation and core stabilization. It is a little bit more advanced. It's not something I would necessarily start someone off with immediately, unless. Unless they have like a TRX where they can start at an incline, because it's obviously it's not something you can do on a rack unless you have a Smith machine.
One of the few good uses of a Smith machine, in my opinion.
Yeah. Actually, remind me, John, but when we wrap up, I get to talk to you about something real quick.
Okay, cool.
And for planks, start with a plank. If you know, I think planks, side planks, and then obviously anti-rotation movements. And if you want to get a little bit more advanced, I'm a huge fan of the overhead anterior side bend. And I think I may have started a trend here because I haven't seen anyone else do it. But I'll post a video for it this week. I shot a video a couple weeks ago and I forgot to edit and post it. But basically, you have the cable. Attachment, I guess, or the, you know, the adjustable part, at about, you know, head height, I'd say about as tall as you, and you really just take the cable, instead of pushing it from your chest forward, you just hold it above your head and you resist the side bend. Give it a shot.
Oh, kind of like a Saxon side bend, but with the cable.
I have no idea what that is, but yeah. It is. No, give it a shot. It is very.
No, I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah, I'm gonna try it. I'll try it this week. How about that?
Yeah, it's like the instead of the Palaf press, it's the Larrabee press. Coin it.
You go. Done.
Done. Thank you. Copyright, you know, 2011, patent pending. The only reason why I'm throwing those out is those are kind of my go-to starters, and for fat loss. The strength and conditioning program, if you're in a pretty good deficit, it should not be very complicated. It is not something where you want to be going balls to the walls when you're at like a 1,500 calorie deficit. You're going to feel like garbage and you're going to drop and you're going to, A, your strength is going to go into the pooper, and B, you're going to be so hungry, you're probably not going to stick to your diet. So I think it is, you know, remember, the diet's going to do most of the work. You can, unless you're in the NBA or you're going to be like lifting or training for 3 hours a day, your diet is what's going to obviously, and we'll talk to Lee about this next week, but that's going to be the main thing. Or maybe I'll see if I can record it and do it as like a midweek thing. But in terms of the sets and reps, I like to start off with simple, three sets between 5 and 10 reps. Sometimes I'll go into the 12 rep range. I'm just not a huge fan of the very high reps when it comes to fat loss, because I like to focus on strength. And again, dealing with most people, strength is something that you're going to want to have, whether you're 20 years old or whether you're 80 years old. You always want to make sure you are at least getting a little bit stronger or maintaining the strength we are at right now, because that is very important in real life, whether it be picking stuff up and just avoiding injuries and stuff like that. I'm not a huge fan of like going into the 20 rep range. I think that's nuts. Metabolic training, if you're going to do that, make sure your calories are a little bit higher. Use references such as Dos Remedios' book, I think is really great if you want to get some ideas for that. We really need to wrap this up. So, John, I don't know. Do you want to give your take while I do some other stuff?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Got to get ready to go. Just talk I'll be back in like 2 minutes.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'll
I have
right
the
back,
entire.
John. Shut up, John.
Dude,
I
could say so much stuff about you and you won't even know.
Yeah, well, I'm going to edit this, so I got to go. I'll be right back.
Whatever. I actually go the opposite a little bit. A little bit. I start off bilateral.
You disagree with me, John?
I am.
I'll be right back.
I start off bilateral. Only I don't. It depends. Unilateral, I will go to early on, but I do want to make sure that they can move bilaterally. So everything begins with squats and deadlifts. And if we're assuming the same kind of thing that we need core stabilization, we need hip extension strength, then I'll typically favor a front squat over a back squat because you'll get more of that core stabilization and that the requirements of hip mobility from a front squat than you will a back squat. But it that depends too. It depends on presentation. Generally speaking, if I have someone that's in more of an anterior tilt in the pelvic alignment, I'll go to a front squat a little bit more. Reverse it. I'm sorry. To a front squat a little bit more. And if they're posteriorly tilted, maybe a back squat. Just because of the positioning, the natural positioning of things, it's going to force you out of that hip alignment that we're looking at. But I don't pay too much attention to that unless it's obviously a problem and it's a significant problem. Otherwise, everyone's going to have some form of pelvic tilting. It doesn't necessarily mean it's good or bad. But I do want to make sure that you can pick something off the floor and keep your back straight, and I want to make sure that you can squat and keep your back straight. That's important to me. Going to single leg stuff, I will go typically from stationary to moving, so kind of like what Kevin was saying, maybe split squat or Bulgarian squat, and then go into like a walking lunge or something. I do like a forward lunge, but I do that after a reverse lunge. So like Kev was saying, if you don't have good glute activation, then you probably will put a little bit too much stress through the knees. So I want to make sure that you can control yourself when you lunge forwards. But I do think that that's an important movement, and I do like to use that movement at some point. Upper body, same kind of things. Push-ups, closed chain, and then moving to open chain, as long as they can kind of handle that. If there's a huge amount of weakness where they can't even do a push-up, you break it down. You can go to push-ups on the knees. You can go to push-up off of a bench. With the hands on the bench, things like that. But I may integrate some open chain stuff like a press, but I also want to make sure that they're pressing right too. So it's all relative, I think, to the individuals. No, I don't have a clear, this is what I like to do, this is what I don't necessarily like to do. Really whatever works, especially in the beginning with a new client. And same thing with the back. I'm very interested in scapular stabilization. I'm very interested in keeping your core upright and tight and having good movement throughout the body no matter what the exercise is. So inverted rows are great. Chin-ups and pull-ups are fine as long as scapular mobility allows for that. I do tend to preface – I like rowing motions a little bit over the like a pull-up or a chin-up just because that tends to be a little bit more natural and it tends to be more usable, let's say, throughout – you know, a normal, typical day, but I certainly use a lot of, you know, chins and chin-up variations too. Not afraid to use machines if they need to, but again, like a lat pull-down or certainly pulleys, don't really love machine-based work otherwise. Don't typically use like a machine press, definitely not any kind of, you know, leg press kind of thing. I'm just not a big fan of those. I still have to keep talking because Kevin's still not here.
I just told you I got to go in 2 minutes.
Oh, there you go. Got to go.
You made a great point in terms of the pull variations. You know, we have great stuff these days with in terms of bands and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it is you know, something that you can be doing whether you're depending on your strength level your strength level at that point is not extremely important because you can use bands as counter resistance.
There you go. Bands. Love body weight resistance too. Like if you are working with the trainer and we're kind of talking not, but you know, just for whatever. If you're working with a client, if the trainers out there, using yourself as resistance to your client is fantastic, and it gives you an input to them as well. So don't forget those things, because there are a lot of really good exercises that you can offer yourself as the resistance to. You know, giving them perturbations while they do a push-up, you know, ab type of stuff, you know, glute activation stuff, hip strength stuff that you just use your hands to give them resistance. That stuff works and it's great.
All right, well, what we're going to do next week is we will pick up on this, and what we'll do, obviously this was the whole show this week. Hopefully we'll get in some more mailbag stuff next week. But what we'll do is we'll hit on conditioning. We'll also hit on the more metabolic side of the training, if you want to set that up. And we will also talk with Lee Peel on designing your nutrition for, you know, whether it be you want to go more of a, like I always say, like MMA type stuff, but it's like metabolic conditioning set up for your workouts, where you want to like train balls to the walls, or if you want to just, you know, lose the weight and you want to have a good weight training program structured around it. So, and we'll even talk, if we get any more questions about this topic, send them to questions@thefitcast.com or go to our website and you can contact us through there and let us know if you have any questions about what we talked about tonight. And we will, you know, we'll address it next week, I promise. I'm just pinched for time tonight because I'm going out to dinner. But I will.
Is it for Valentine's?
It's not for Valentine's. I told you, John, I'm not in a relationship.
You could have lied, dude. You could have lied and made yourself look like, yeah, I got all these girls and they're all taking me out. And
yeah, well, you know, it's the FitCast audience. You know, they are my Valentine's.
Taking resumes.
Yeah, I'll take resumes if you're in the New England area.
There you go.
Hit me up, Facebook.
Ladies, hit us up, the gentlemen of the FitCast.
Play Nintendo games.
Awesome.
We'll need a new website and a new podcast for that.
But
why not? FitCast Network. Remember that, John? All right, well, we'll see you all next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. You can subscribe through iTunes. Please let us know what you thought about this week's podcast. And again, we will have a supplement for you on Wednesday, as long as the world doesn't end. But we should have another 10 months or so until that happens. So thanks, y'all. Have a great week. And actually, no, I will let you know. I'm going out to dinner with Lee Peel. She flew up here, and she should be arriving any minute now. So,
you're a liar.
No, I'm dead serious.
Really?
No. No, but so. Really. I'm serious. Lee and I are getting married next fall. So we will have a
podcast. So, ladies, the Valentine's requests only come to me now.
No, I said get in while you still can.
Oh, whatever.
You know, I still got, you know, whatever it is.
God, you unfaithful bitch.
Nah, dude, she's different area codes. That's what we're going to finish this week's song off with.
That's going to be the name of
the next week, folks.
I've got holes in different area codes.
All right, we're here in the off-topic discussion for episode 205. I'm with John. What's up, John?
Word up. What the dilly?
Make sure everything should sound pretty good. Do I sound all right?
You always sound kind of sexy, dude.
I mean my microphone.
You know, I'm trying to, you know, just keep it real with you.
I'm using the Mr. microphone today. And I got my talk boy next to me, too.
What exactly is that?
Mr. Microphone?
Yeah, that's the name of the brand?
Did your parents didn't buy you toys when you were a kid?
No. They didn't, actually. They just kept me in the closet and occasionally opened it to give me food and sunlight, and that was it.
It was a microphone that you could, like, plug. It's like you could, it would connect to any radio station, and then you could talk through the radio.
Oh, okay, yeah,
like,
I know.
I had one of those, and that was like it came out like way like even before my time. I think it came out in like really early '80s.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Somehow, I had no interest in that as a kid.
Yeah, well, I only like got toys that my brother and sister wanted, and I just got to use them because I was there too.
Exactly. Yeah, I get that. My hand-me-downs were from my older cousins because I'm an only brat. Well, it's kind of the same concept. I was styling in my late 70s gear, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. Actually, when I was a little baby, I had like this pimp-ass leather jacket thing. I still have a picture of it. It's like this pimp leather jacket and this like little hat. Dude, I was Cole Mackin' it, man.
So you're like Chachi?
Pretty much. No, I was actually like the Fonz.
No.
No. Yeah, no. Yeah, it was no. Baby Fonz.
I will quickly talk about a couple things. I really haven't been doing anything too interesting. I was sick pretty good over the last week.
Yeah, you were.
And so I took that time to clean all my NES games and take them out of storage, out of my closet, which John has seen about half of.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing. That is a collection to be feared.
Well, you've only seen part of it, but I knew someone when I worked at Game Trailers who there was like 750 some odd Nintendo games that came out, like regular Nintendo games, NES, and he had every single one of those games, like out of the box, and he also had every single game sealed in box, like brand new.
Wow.
He had it was like that. That's called having a problem.
But, but one man's problem is another man's, you know, opportunity.
Yeah, and you took 360 something some odd old games that I've collected, you know, the last 5 years or so.
That's insane. Yeah.
But you think about it, and like a lot of them are like, you go to a yard sale and like the games are 50 cents, or at a flea market and they have like a box of, like, I literally got like a box of games one time that was like, it was like 50 games and I got it for $20. Like, people, you know, just want to get rid of
the app. Yeah.
Like, we haven't touched this stuff in 20 years. Sure.
Yeah, right.
Give me money for it. Fine. That's money I didn't have. And then I Craigslist and stuff. I don't know if you can hear my dog, but he's going at himself.
Kind of. Oh, you know, when I was bored, I forgot to send this to you and Lee. When I was bored, I did one of those make a movie things with the
characters.
Yeah, I did, and it was like, I did it about the Fitcast. I forgot. I wanted to send it to you guys first before I posted it because I thought it was funny, but I didn't know if anyone else. No, I didn't. I didn't. I forgot all about it. I don't know where the hell I was, but I did. I was just bored one night, and I did it, and I was cracking up, but I was like, maybe I'm the only person that thinks this is funny. It was supposed to be like a behind-the-scenes recording of the FitCast. Except, of course, in it, you and I are just standing in the same room together, which is not really what happens.
Is Lee there?
No, I couldn't get three people. I don't know. Maybe you can. I'm not that technically savantish.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Mostly just making fun of you, though.
Usually.
But in it, you mentioned your dog, and I think said something like in the middle of the recording, you start screaming that the dog is humping your leg.
Like the monotone voice.
Yeah.
My dog is humping my leg.
Oh my God. Stop humping my leg.
I'm not a big fan of those videos. I thought those were old.
Like, yeah, they're funny. When people, I mean, they're just, when someone is funny, the movie's good, but yeah. It's not, there's nothing, it ain't Crank.
No, it's not. So, in recent developments, Lee did end up getting her Blu-ray player and her copy of Crank 1. So
sweet.
That's why she's not here right now. She's watching that.
Yeah, pretty much. We are hoping, keeping our fingers crossed. Because you know what, Kevin? If Lee's not on the show, who do I have for my Valentine?
It's not Valentine's Day. It's not until next week.
Tomorrow.
Holy crap.
Tomorrow, you...
Well, shows that I'm not in a relationship.
Oh. Que pasa? What'd you just do? You all freaked out. You went all...
No, it said it shows that I'm not in a relationship.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. It's the dateless Fitcast.
I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah. Let's take, you know, and I'd like to point out that I am accepting resumes to be my Valentine to the audience at large.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so just send them to Kevin. He'll forward them along.
Yeah. With videos and pictures.
Mm.
Attach that link.
Yeah.
Attachments. So that's cool. So I've been playing a lot of Mega Man 3 and Castlevania 3
because Man 3. God, Mega Man
so
was
good, man.
Everything about Mega Man is so good. That was a great series.
I like I said, you know, I have like whatever it is 300 something games and I haven't beaten so many of them. Some of them I haven't even played for more than, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, so my goal is to not buy any new games until I beat at least 2 or 3 of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been good. I haven't bought much in a long time. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 I'm going to have to buy, though, because that's just...
Oh, that was hardcore,
Roger
too.
Roger and I got to play the crap out of that. You know, I never beat Zelda 2, Adventure of Link, which, as a pretty hardcore Zelda fan, is disappointing and sad. But... Why is my word beeping at me?
What's beeping?
This file is read-only to save a copy. Okay. My computer crashed, as you know. So.
Yes, I do. I think we're rambling now. We're losing our focus.
Well, all right. I have like an hour or so.
Oh, cool. Bye.